that I just started reading myself called Everybody Always, and it's about loving difficult people. So I thought, I need that in my life. So here's a great paragraph that I think is worth sharing. What I've come to learn so far about my faith is Jesus never asked anyone to play it safe. We were born to be brave. There's a big difference between playing it safe and being safe. A lot of people think playing it safe and waiting for all the answers before they move forward is the opposite of dangerous. I disagree. If our life and our identity are found in Jesus, I think we can redefine safe as staying close to Him. Don't get me wrong. Playing it safe and waiting for assurances in our lives isn't necessarily bad. It just isn't faith anymore. Playing it safe doesn't move us forward or help us grow. It just finds us where we are and leaves us in the same condition it found us. God wants something different for us. His goal is that we'll never come back the same. He's hoping we'll return more dependent on Him. I'm not saying everything needs to be risky in our lives, but we'd be well served if a few more things were riskier in our faith. Loving people we don't understand or agree with is just the kind of beautiful, counterintuitive, risky stuff that people who become loving do. And that's really our call. We recognize, just as Jesus said, that it's easy to love people who love you back. And Jesus said, you know, the whole world does that. But what the Father is looking for is the sort of person who's willing to love when there's nothing coming back in return. The person who would lend to the person who can't pay them back, or do good for the person who does them harm in return, to love enemies, not just to love friends. And so we recognize this call to love one more sometimes is going to lead us into the most joyful experiences of our lives. And those of you who have experienced that, you know exactly what that means. You would look back and go, I'm so glad I made the choice to reach out, the choice to love, the choice to engage with that person. And now I see all this good fruit as a result, and I'm so excited about that relationship that started. Other times, when you choose to love one more, you love someone who's difficult. You love someone who doesn't pay you anything back, or maybe someone who causes you a lot more pain than you thought you signed up for. And that is the way of the cross. That's the kind of love Jesus has called us into, because really, that's the kind of love that He has for us. Just by way of quick review, I gave you a little equation this morning with three key concepts in it. And I just wonder if any of you remember any of those three parts of that equation. The first one, I'll give you a big hint, the easiest part, was tied to the parable of the Good Samaritan and the commands upon which that's based. So what was that? What's that? I can't quite hear you. Yes, doing what Jesus tells you to do is a big piece of the puzzle, and that's the loving your neighbor as much as you love yourself. That's a core part of our equation for loving one more. Another piece was that we don't just love the easy people. As James 1:27 says, we love the widows and the orphans, the people that are maybe in the most difficult circumstances, that our hearts naturally lean into trying to find those people and love them. And then there's the part of the equation that makes it all work out, which is Matthew 6:33, that if you seek the kingdom of God first and His righteousness, God provides for your needs. All right, so that concept, oh, and I'm a clicker on there, we'll get that going. There it is. That concept of loving one more is built really on, I think, faith in God, that even as we extend our hearts in love, we recognize God is going to be with us as we do it. And so we say, Lord, I trust Your word more than my own intuitions or my wisdom. And so I'll go ahead and build my life with this equation in mind and trust You that as I say yes to loving the next person, that You'll guide me forward from there. So that's a little bit of a review. Now for today, I'd like you to turn in the scripture to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3. This is when Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus. He's given them some amazing theology to be excited about and some direction as far as the purpose of their lives is not just to sort of do a few good works, but really to put their whole faith in Jesus and to step into the new life that he died to provide. And then Paul says, I get on my knees when I think about this, and I pray to God for you. And that's the part we're going to read today, is Paul's prayer, starting in verse 14 of Ephesians 3. He said, when I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Empower you for what? We'll get there. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide and how long and how high and how deep is his love for us. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete in all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. The power that you'll need to live in the fullness of life, to really love with your whole heart, is not going to come from yourself. It's not something you gin up. This is power from God that he gives you as you start to realize the incredible way in which he has poured his love into your life. It enables you then to look at other people with different eyes and imagine a little bit of the love of God that's been poured into you spilling over into someone else's life. And so the way that we love one more is not, it's not about rolling up your sleeves and saying, okay, I'm going to add that to my list of things to do this week. I'm going to go find somebody to love. That's not necessarily a bad impulse, but that's not the power behind loving one more is not just in your decision to do it. It's in the fact that God actually loves you so much. He would pour so much power and love into your life to the point where you can't even comprehend it. That's what Paul's saying, that you know how wide and long and high and deep is this love that God has given you. No one can understand that fully, but that's the key, is when you come to an understanding of that, your life changes, and now you have something to offer. That, as earlier in the text it said, his glorious unlimited resources are now availed to you. So he goes on, verse 20, now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So we hear that prayer and we say, wow, that's the life I want, like where my life, my steps are literally empowered by God, and where Christ makes his home in my heart, and where my roots are growing deep into love, and I'm starting to understand how much God loves me, and now that's enabling me to start living the kind of life I'm called to live. And that when we step back and we see all of that, we would say, this isn't glory to me or glory to you or even glory to our church or to Christianity or something. This is glory to God who makes all of this possible. He's the one that's working and doing more than we could ask or imagine. And I've really come to think that principle that God will do more than you can imagine only plays itself out in your life if you move up to the front lines of the kingdom's work. So if you hang back and you say, you know, like if you kind of hang back and your heart answer to God isn't an enthusiastic yes, what I think starts to happen is that you end up seeing God work in other people's lives, or you read some amazing biography from a long time ago about how God worked in someone else's life, some missionary or something, and you say, wow, I wish that would happen to me. I wish I could see God work that way. Say, well, you can. But the reason that person saw God at work is because they got off of the sidelines and they went up to the front lines. They started saying yes and started loving and started sharing the gospel. And as a result of that action, God started to show his power in and through their life. All right, so that's all a little bit of a basis then for some of the things that I'd like to share with you today. Once we experience the vast dimensions of God's love for us, it's easier to imagine extending our own love to one more. So this would be for you if you would say, you know what, I would love to respond to this weekend and this whole call, but I feel like I'm tapped out already. I'm already serving. I'm already working hard. My schedule is full. Maybe the people in your life are already draining you dry, and you're just thinking, like, one more. Like, I can't. I wish I could get one less. And, you know, well, this is where you say, Lord, I need your power and your love to fill me, just like Ephesians 3 says. I need to understand that your love exceeds any dimension I can comprehend. That changes the equation for all of us. And so if the first equation I showed you this morning was sort of the addition of those three Bible verses together, I look at this Ephesians, this is more like geometry, where you're saying, okay, now there's all these dimensions of God's love that are mind-blowing. And if I can just get that in my heart, now I'm able to step forward in confidence and say, I know there's always more love to share because I'm not basing my love for one more on my own energy. I'm basing it on God's love, which is so big I can't even comprehend it. All right, so how does it look when we choose to love one more? So if you were to walk out of here and say, I think I get it. Like, I think I understand what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to say yes, and I'm going to look for people that need love around me. Here are some things that you can hold on to, things that I've found to be true in my life. Melissa would testify to these things. And really, any of us who would get up and say, here's how my life has gone so far, I think we would all validate that these principles are true. When you choose to love one more, God, first of all, will direct you. You're not on your own in this journey. I mean, God loves you, and he cares about your life and your direction, and so he'll start guiding you into the scenarios that you need to be in. When I think back in my own life, just the last few years even, and how I've ended up where I am, I could go back and say, I didn't know any of this was going to happen. Like, my plan, if I would have said, here's my strategic plan for the next 5 years, it wouldn't have included hardly any of the stuff I'm doing right now because I wouldn't have known to ask for that. God was the one who directed the steps. And that's, we see that over and over again in the Bible, that when we put our trust in God, He directs our next step. And so that's where we just joyfully put our faith in him and say, all right, Lord, I'm willing. If you bring someone into my life that I can love, I'll extend love to them. I'll love my neighbor as much as I love myself. And then we'll go from there. We'll see where God takes us. So I think that's exciting. God will provide for us. When you decide to love one more, we touched on this a little bit this morning, God does pick up your cause and he makes it possible. So where you would say, I'm out of money or time or energy, I don't have any love to share, that's when God fills you. That's when God pours his resources into your life. I have a bunch of stories I could tell about this. Melissa probably does too. And I'm just thinking back, like when we first started foster parenting and we were wondering, how is this all going to work? Right out of the chute, my grandparents gave us a wonderful new minivan. I think it was 1.5 years old. It had like 20,000 miles on it. So I mean, it was great. It was a Honda Odyssey. It was like an amazing gift. And just thinking, just that little provision that we didn't ask for, couldn't have planned for, but that has then carried like a lot of our. I mean, I think of all the foster kids that have traveled in that van and all the miles we've done and. And just the fact that our ability to love one more, there in the perfect van, an 8-seater that gave us everything. It's great. And then I think back at different homes that we've lived in and how people have stepped up and helped and served and done things way over and above what I would have ever asked for, certainly more than I ever deserved, because it wasn't really about me. It was about the fact that they were a part of the mission. And even here recently, like we have the triplets on the way and we're trying to recalculate, like, how is this all going to work? And we need some more space on our house. And so we're working on an addition and literally just like even before we even had blueprints or anything, more than half of the money that we need for that, so like two different people just gave us like a whole bunch. And just thinking like this is an amazing, like God is proving this point over and over again in our lives, that if you say yes to loving one more, he'll make the way. So what I've tried to decide in my own life is I try not to ever have the excuse that I either can't afford something or I don't have the capacity to do something. Because I'm looking at it going, where I run out, somehow God picks it up and keeps going. And so that's not just money. Sometimes that's energy, that's time, that's skills and abilities. The opportunity that all of us have to see God at work is right there in front of us if only we take these steps of faith and say, Lord, I know you'll provide the things that I need. And so many times over the years of foster parenting, people have come up and said, we usually get like a few lines that are always the same. Maybe you've said these to foster parents that you know. Like, people will come up and say, I could never do what you do. And we would say, well, we couldn't either. the things we're doing are beyond our capacity as well. But this is where we're saying, Lord, we need you to help us through this. People will say, I wish I could do that, but I just don't have, and then fill in the blank. And we would look at it and go, we don't have our blanks filled either. But somehow God has worked it out, and somehow there's always been enough, and somehow maybe even more than enough. And I thank God so much for that. But I would encourage you, if you're thinking about loving one more or reaching out to a neighbor, or maybe you're thinking about signing up for foster parenting or adoption or something, but you have these reservations of I don't think I can do it, or I don't think I can afford it, or whatever it might be, just give that to God and say, Lord, if you want to direct me to love one more, you're going to have to show that this whole equation works by that Matthew 6:33 principle coming into play. I'm willing to say yes and love my neighbor as myself, but I need you to provide if that's going to be my priority. And it's a lot of fun to see how God works those things out. The third is that God will enlarge our hearts if we say yes to loving one more. A good friend of mine is in India. His name is Sam Stevens, and I gave you that picture from the little hilltop in India this morning. It's his ministry that I was going there with, and they have a neat church planting ministry, and they do love one more child in India, and there you can sponsor kids and all of that. So I was over there on a mission trip and being a part of their ministry, and I started to realize that there were a lot of people calling Sam father, a lot of people addressing him that way. So I wanted to get to the bottom of that, and I was actually writing a book about my experience in India, so I had a lot of chance to interview with Sam and said, tell me a little bit more about that. And so part of what I was hearing was Indian culture as it was being translated to me, sort of loosely as I went along, that a lot of times they would address, just as sort of elders as father or whatever. And so I understand that. But it seems like you actually have a lot of kids. He said, yeah, that's true. So in his family, they had two children as a couple at the beginning of their marriage. And he said that when they had those two children, one day he looked at his wife and he actually remembers saying, we have two, I can't imagine loving any more kids. I love these kids so much. I don't know how people who have more kids than that would do it. I don't have any more love. We're just filled up. And it was a positive thing. He was just saying, I love my kids so much, I can't imagine loving any more. And he said then at their mission, kind of their base, their home, there was an orphan child that was left there. And so they brought him in and kind of cleaned him up and started to include him in meals and try to figure out what to do with him. And time went by, and they ended up adopting this little child, and they loved one more. Well, then that happened again, and then that happened again, and then that happened again and again and again, and he ended up with nine children, so seven of which would have been adopted. And then at the same time in their ministry, they went ahead right there at his household, they expanded that and started a children's home. And in India, children's home kind of means a little bit different than what it might mean here, but it's the same basic premise. A lot of kids ended up there. So over the course of the years, Sam has been a direct father to nine and a little bit of an indirect father to more than 100 kids. And so I said, so you're saying there's more than 100 children out there that would, if someone asked, who is your dad, they would say you. He said, yeah, they probably would say that. Wow, as a capacity issue, or even remembering names and stuff, that's crazy, right? That's about that. And so I asked him, how is that possible? And now for some of those, he said in the children's home, they have helpers that come and there's other people involved, but he's just sort of the father figurehead there. So that's a little bit, but even just with those original nine, how is that possible that all these kids can, that you have something to share? And he said, what we felt was that God kept enlarging our hearts. Your heart would be full of love for the people in your life today, but then you say yes to love one more, and it's your heart grows a little bit, kind of like the Grinch, only a different reason, right? His heart grew three sizes that day. And so you have this opportunity where God will give you more love to share as you need it. And so you don't wait until you have all of that to offer and you're kind of looking at your life going, I'm just kind of empty and I wish I had another person to love. Yeah, I guess I'll sign up to love one more. No, you step into loving one more just from wherever you are today, and God enlarges your heart. He gives you the opportunity, the privilege really, of loving another person that otherwise you might never have even met. So You trust God to do that. This is part of the resource he gives you. It's not just the money or the housing or the transportation or the food or whatever you need to do to extend love. It's also just the heartbeat. It's the love itself. God pours that into you, and he continues to enlarge your hearts. Okay, so that kind of ties to the next point there. God will grow our capacity, our ability to manage all of these different relationships. So there's Sam over there. He's got 100 people that might call one day and say, Dad, I need some advice or whatever. I mean, that's a lot of, he needs some serious capacity to handle that. One thing Melissa and I have noticed as we've parented different numbers of kids, because as foster parents, it would, you know, fluctuate. Sometimes we'd have four little ones, sometimes we'd have a teen, sometimes we have a teen and a baby, and just kind of mixed all around for those, especially those first few years when we didn't really know any better, so we just said yes to just about every time they called. Well, sure, bring them over, and then we learned a lot of lessons that way. And so what one thing we noticed was that when we had like two kids, we would feel, you know, kind of a moderate amount of stress, like, hey, this is really pushing us. Like, that we go to the store and both of us have to kind of manage a child. And then we had three kids, and that changed things a lot, because now they outnumber us, and now when we go to the store, it's like we have to have a little bit of law and order, or this doesn't work out. And then we had four kids, and now we've got seven kids, and we're going to have 10 kids. And so, well, here's what's crazy, as one who has seven kids a lot of the time, if, like, as in today, you know, two of our kids are in other places right now, just when one or two of them go somewhere else, it all of a sudden all feels easy. So I'm literally sitting here with five kids going, oh, this is easy. It's like a breeze. Well, that's crazy. Like, I just remember not that many years ago, I was completely overwhelmed with three. And so what's going on there? Well, what's happening is that each time you grow to love one more, your capacity grows along with it. It's kind of like strength training. Like, you just get stronger. And so then all of a sudden, if there's less, you're like, wow, this is so easy. And so here's an encouragement for you. If you would look at your life today and say, I am at my max. Like, I wish I could do this, but I don't have capacity. That's where you say, okay, Lord, here again is an opportunity for me to walk by faith. To actually trust you that if I say yes to this opportunity, you're going to grow my heart and you're going to grow my strength. You're actually going to give me the ability to manage this additional piece. And I believe God will do that. That's what we've seen many, many times over in our lives, that God just keeps growing that capacity. It doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean it's all autopilot. I would say some of the stuff is exceptionally difficult. Some of the most difficult things we've ever faced in our lives have to do with some of the people that we've said yes to, loving them as one more. And yet, God continues to grow that capacity. And so you just step forward in faith, and you put a smile on your face and say, all right, Lord, this is you, this isn't me. And if you can have that attitude of surrender, it really gives you the ability to boldly say yes. And then just to know that God will reward you with the things that matter the most. There was a little 8-year-old foster kid that we had. Oh, I mean, this would have been at least 8 years ago, he came into our home. His brother was with him. His brother was a little bit older, I think maybe 12 or 13, and his brother was his brother had a lot of really difficult issues, and we couldn't handle that. So he was with us for a couple weeks, and then he had to cycle to a different foster home, but the little 8-year-old was with us, and I think that our home might have been the first sort of safe place he had ever been in his life, like a place that just had stability and a schedule, and there wasn't any anger, there wasn't any, you know, threats. It was a safe place. And he kind of confided that in Melissa one night when she was praying with him before he went to sleep, that just like, I feel safe here. So he was like really interested in the Bible. He was really interested. He'd come to church with us. He was so excited. It was all new to him. Like, everything was new. In fact, he was watching VeggieTales, like learning Bible stories, which is a scary way to learn the Bible. If you think about, like, that's his whole vision of the Bible, was veggie version of it. But I mean, he was like so excited to learn all this stuff. And one day he prayed to receive Christ. He just sort of stopped after our little Bible reading time at night, and he was just like, that's what I want. And he wanted to become a Christian and wanted to have what we have in our home. So his story kind of continued on. There was certainly some heartbreak attached to that. We were willing to adopt him into our family, but the scenario he was in was mixed up between Ohio and another state, and the legal stuff wasn't going to work out, and he ended up having to transfer, and we don't know where he would have ended up from there. There wasn't a way for him to ever come back or contact us back. But we look at that and go, like, it's moments like that sort of tender moment at the bedside when he actually gave his heart to Jesus, and or the moment, like, not that long after that when he was crying, saying, I don't want to leave. I feel safe here. I feel like I want to be in your family. And, like, those moments are, you know, they're sad in one sense, but it's also like, this is why we're doing this. Like, that's the reward, is the fact that you get to see God at work in people's lives that otherwise wouldn't have ever had those opportunities. But because you said yes to loving one more, here this amazing thing was able to happen. And so so along the way, rather than worrying about whether the person can pay you back or worrying about whether somehow it's all going to work out in the end, you just kind of set that aside. And instead you say, Lord, I'm choosing to love this person not because of what they do for me, but because you'll reward me. And so I can take quite a bit if I'm thinking like God is the one who ultimately rewards us for our life of love and even in the sacrifices we might make. It's not about an earthly reward. It's about seeing the real meaning of our lives kind of lived out, our purpose to love other people, and then to see them come closer to God as a result. So there are, like I said this morning, there are opportunities for this kind of thing everywhere. So none of us can say, well, I wish I could do something like that, but like I don't even know anybody. Hey, there are people all over the place, and anywhere you go in the world, you would find more and more people, and every single one of them was created to love and to be loved. And every single one of them, you would have an opportunity for that to be your one more. And so you turn your radar on and you say, okay, Lord, I don't exactly know who the next person will be or what they'll look like or what stage of life they'll be at, but my radar's on, and I'm willing now to just look at people through different eyes, to see someone. And instead of thinking about my agenda or my best interest or looking out for number one, instead I'm actually looking out for other people. I'm actually thinking, like, Lord, who do you want to send me into today? Whether it's just a temporary touch of hospitality or generosity, or maybe it's a whole lifetime commitment of adoption or of bringing someone in as a close friend into your network, or of going and engaging with somebody who you know it's going to be difficult, but you go ahead and you love them anyway. That's really an amazing opportunity God gives all of us over and over again. And the more you say yes, the more you love one more, the more opportunities to love one more will come your way. And it starts to have a snowball effect, and all these principles that are on the screen right now just keep growing and growing. And it's really fun to see. So I would encourage you that not to limit your love based on your own current scenario, but instead to look up to heaven and say, Lord, I'm willing, based on your power working through me, based on your great love that can overflow in me, and based on the resources that you have access to that I don't even know about, I'm willing to say, yes, I will love one more. All right, so here's a prayer that we could pray as we consider that. Lord, open my eyes to people, especially children, of great worth in your sight, people who need your love and mine. And then we say, Lord, I'll accept the challenge to love one more. I wouldn't want you to pray that if it wasn't actually in your heart to say it. But if that's where your heart is, if you'd say, yeah, I get it, that this is what my life is for in this world. I don't want to miss it. Then you say, Lord, I'm ready. And so every day then becomes an adventure as you look around and wonder who's next. Who will God bring into your life or family? So here's what could be a lot of fun. I'll tell you a little story from Life Action Camp. Which is, Pastor Rodney's been there. I don't know if any of the rest of you have ever seen that. It's not that far from here, but it's a neat place. And it draws families from all over this region of the country during the summer. And so we've gotten to know a lot of those families because Melissa and I get to minister there pretty much every week throughout the summer in different ways. And 2 years ago, Love One More was the theme of summer camp. And so all these families, hundreds of families coming in and out of the camp, all of them kind of hearing a similar challenge to what you're hearing right now. And having no idea what that would add up to or what that would mean, but here's what's been really exciting and amazing. Because we're seeing these people all once a year, like at little intervals in their life. So 2 years ago, everyone was challenged to love one more, to see, you know, look at the empty chairs in your life, look at the empty bedrooms, all the things we talked about this morning. So last year, we started hearing stories of people who were literally doing it, and there were a few more people at camp last year than the year before that were the one mores, like kids that had been fostered or adopted, or families that had grown a little bit, and they would come up and say, you know, the reason this happened, this is because of last year's theme. Well, this year, now 2 years later, there were even more of those stories as some of the processes for adoption kind of started to finalize. That there were like a number of people I was able to meet this year at Life Action Camp that were literally the one more of someone 2 years ago. And when you see that, when you kind of see that right in front of you, like here's a real person that this has impacted, it really is an amazing and kind of humbling, you know, it's a moment of kind of gravity, I guess, because you start realizing, like, this matters. Like, this is real people's lives that we're talking about. And so it's very possible that in your church, there might be people here a year from now that will be here a year from now because of one of you saying the prayer that's on the screen. I mean, I don't know what that'll look like, but I'm just suggesting, like, this is tangible, this is real. This isn't just sort of a theoretical commitment that people make and nothing, like, physically changes. This could actually change your life in a radical way. It could change your church in a radical way. That's what happens when you say yes to God. Things start to move. Real things start to move. And so here's a way that you could be praying, and something interesting to think about is, like, if it's true that if we could sort of glance into the sanctuary like 1 year from today, and there were somehow a few more people here because a few of you in the room decided to love one more, you might think, like, I would love to meet those people. Like, I would love to know their story. Like, how did they end up here? Like, who loved? Who did it? How did it happen? And what's so exciting is that's not just a thought project. Like, you can meet those people, but you first have to take that step and say, Lord, show them to me. Like, my radar's on. I'm ready to meet them. All right, so that is the challenge. But I realize that as simple as it all sounds from the pulpit, there's a lot of complexity when you decide to love. Like, it can get messy, it can get difficult. It can also be, like, you know, it's kind of a mix of risk and reward, just like anything else in life. Sometimes things go really negative when you decide to invest yourself in another person and you feel like you lose in an earthly sense. Other times it's really positive and you think, like, man, I would do this 1,000 times if I could. And so I know it brings up a lot of questions that people are curious about. And I thought it might just be interesting to spend, so, you know, the balance of our time here just a little bit more interactive and just hear from you. Like, as you've heard the challenge, and I know that Pastor Rodney, even for the last couple weeks, has been announcing this is coming, and you've thought about Love One More a little bit more than even just from today. As you think about how this plays out in your life, what are you curious about? What are you thinking and praying about? And maybe what, you know, if you have questions specifically for Melissa and I about how things work in loving one more child in that particular regard, I'd be happy to answer some of that. But I know Pastor Rodney is going to come on up and kind of we'll walk through a little bit of an interview here. But we want to ask you what questions you might have. So maybe we start with you, Mr. Rodney.
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you. Thank you for coming. And we can start just by throwing it open. If there's questions that you guys have, we can open it up to that, or I can kind of initiate a conversation here. All right. Thank you. Who'll be next? So, Dan, what do you see as hindrances that would kind of stop this process somewhere along the way? Maybe there's an initial excitement, but, you know, something kind of, you know, stops us along the process of opening our hearts in love. What are some of the hindrances that you would see? You know, a sincere Christian, that's somebody, you know, a Sunday night Christian, you know, that their heart's kind of in the right place, but you see something kind of aborting the process.
Well, you will hit roadblocks, and there will be doors that close that you think should have opened. So it could be something like, you know, you get all excited about, like, we want to adopt, and then somehow someone, you know, you find out down the line that, like, you can't do it, or the way that you thought you could do it isn't going to work. And sometimes we get an image in our mind that's very specific, and that's what we're aiming for. And I don't think that's bad necessarily, but to recognize that not everything happens the way you plan, and so don't let setbacks or roadblocks stop you from the overall vision. And that's where I would say maybe begin with the heart of love one more in multiple ways. So it's not just that there's one path to this. Love one more is an attitude in your heart. There's always one more. You're walking by one more when you walk through the store. I mean, you're pumping gas next to one more. You're sitting in school next to one more. So you're always thinking about, like, how can I extend love in little ways too? But if God starts to form a bigger vision in your heart, I would say make sure you don't stop. You don't let your vision be kind of squelched by the first resistance. You will face resistance. Not everything will work out, but if it's in your heart, it's kind of an attitude, then you just sort of, you keep seeking the next opportunity. So maybe, there's probably other hindrances too, but one would be, I think, early discouragement in your plan that stops you. But don't, push past that discouragement and say, whether or not it works out according to anything I can imagine, like the scripture says, this is going to be beyond what I can ask or imagine. God's involved in it. So I'm open to this going 1,000 different directions.
One of the thoughts that kind of come to my mind is for some of you, Dan's illustrations have centered around adoption. And for some of you, it'd be very unwise for you to adopt a child in your stage in life. You have grandchildren. But, I have heard so many people talk about an adopted grandparent. Someone that there's nothing sort of official or legal about it, but just someone that an older grandparent-aged person who took a special interest in them and who really made a huge difference in their life. Sometimes they wouldn't listen to their mom or dad, but they would listen to, Grandma so-and-so down the street or Grandpa so-and-so at work or whatever. And so there are opportunities for you to kind of extend your ministry as sort of that adopted grandma or that adopted grandpa as well. One of the things that you said tonight that really struck me is that loving one more requires walking by faith. And you guys have, of course, many illustrations of that. And that, of course, would be true for us as well. A question that kind of sprung to my mind was, how do you transition from kind of what we might understand as an action of love to the message of the gospel? So as we're kind of thinking about this, the action of love has value in and of itself. It's communicating. It's already communicating something. It is communicating value and encouragement and blessing and love to the person who receives it. But we don't want it to stop there. We want it to eventually get to talking about Jesus. So how would you go from, helping someone, serving someone, loving someone, even sacrificially, how do you go from that to the message of the gospel, to pointing them to the Lord Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm. I've got a couple of responses to that. The first would be, I don't feel like I have to calculate that before I'm willing to love someone. So I wouldn't say like, well, there's no opportunity to witness to this person, so I'm not going to help them. Like, I would always, I want to be a good Samaritan even if they don't speak my language. I've got no chance of, because the actual action of love is obeying Jesus in that regard.
Absolutely.
So I would say it doesn't have, you don't have to necessarily put a Christian wrapper on every good deed in order for it to really be a good deed. It can still just be genuinely good for you to do that. However, to your point, I think that's important. And the way that I look at it, especially, now this would be maybe an adoption-specific answer. When you pull someone into your household, if your life centers around serving and following Jesus and the gospel, then you're bringing them into that story. So like they're at church and they're out serving with us and they're doing things, they're, in our family's case, they're kind of on the road with us too sometimes. I mean, it's just they're part of the story, and so they get to be part of the team right away. So it's just built into everything. That would be, but we do want to have intentional conversations. So we would set aside, we would look for those opportunities. Like, when can we bring up these really important matters of the gospel or faith or believing in Jesus? How can that come up and kind of be strategic about that? When it comes to outside of just that pathway, when you're thinking about loving through hospitality or generosity or taking a pie to your neighbor at a holiday and just saying, hey, I care about you. I just wanted to say hello. And just kind of seeking to love one more that way. I think part of it is to just kind of go ahead and consider, like, how could you specifically engage them in, like, a kind of a culturally meaningful way, whether it's as simple as inviting them to church sometime to come along with you, Or maybe it's just to say, you know, if you want to get together over coffee, and I'd love to get to know you better. But if your life is centered on the gospel, you won't get to have that many conversations with a person that don't involve Jesus somewhere. Like, in theory, for us, Jesus is the center point of our lives, right? So it'd be like, if somebody's going to get to know you, then very naturally there's going to be opportunity after opportunity to share about your faith. And so maybe a simple practical way, if you've been reaching out to a person in love, is just to tell them your own story of why your life is different because you follow Jesus. And most people are pretty interested in hearing that part of it. And then you can kind of gauge their openness, or ask them a simple question. After you told your story, ask, you know, have you ever had an experience like that? Or have, you know, when in your own life, have you ever encountered God in a personal way? And just kind of just jump right in. I think questions like that can be really helpful, kind of disarming, and it's a first step into a conversation that might be intentional.
Let them talk about themselves as well.
Yes, right. Yeah. Themselves is their favorite topic. I always try to think about that. And so it's fun when I'm the guest speaker, we get to talk about my favorite topic, right? Because everybody asks questions about me. but that is something a little. If you're out there wondering, what do I say to people? Just know that everybody loves talking about themselves, and so you can start with that. Just ask them all sorts of questions. And a lot of times they'll reciprocate and ask you those questions back. And that's when you get a great opportunity to share your faith. So.
Sure. Any questions from you guys? Jill.
I don't have a question, but I have a comment.
Go ahead. Good. Yeah, child advocacy, or court-appointed child advocate.
Yeah, that's great, and that's something we really appreciated when we had people that played that role in the lives of some of our kids. And then sometimes I think probably more of our stories are the kids that we thought they so desperately needed that, but they didn't have it. And so there were lawyers for the, you know, for one side, there were lawyers for the state, there's lawyers for the wherever they came from, But then, like, in the whole mix of all the big system and all the machinations of everything, you go, wait a minute, who actually is looking at this through the child's perspective to do what's right for them? And that's where, if you're a child advocate, you get to step into those situations and just basically say, I'm going to fight for this kid as if, I mean, it really is. It's literally following, you know, adding one more to your circle of friends or family, treat them like they're your kid. And so you're saying, if my child was in a legal situation where custody or something was involved, I would want their best interest represented in that hearing. And so you get to be a person who's a part of their life in different ways, maybe a part of the foster parent's life or the other people involved. But most of all, you're looking out for a child's best interest. So that is a great idea, another extension of this calling.
One last chance. All right, I'm going to close this in prayer. Pray for you and Melissa, your family, as you travel home. And his blessing on your upcoming birth and the Lord's grace in your home.
Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, we are grateful for the privilege of just being with one another and spending time, Lord, in your house and with you under the teaching of your word and the challenge of your command to love, not just to love one another, but to love our neighbor as ourselves. Lord, I pray that you would draw out our hearts to see the needs around us and to care about those needs as if they were part of our inner circle. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Dan and Melissa and their children, and Lord, the sacrifices that they have made to be here with us today, and just kind of knowing a little bit more of their story, certainly, Lord, not to the detail that you know it, but we see that they have sacrificed their energy and their time to be here with us today. And we especially want to pray for Melissa as she continues to carry these triplets. I pray that, Lord, you would pour out your blessing upon her, keep her physically safe and healthy. And, Lord, we pray that as the birth approaches, that these little ones, Lord, would be born strong and healthy, and that she would recover quickly. Lord, I pray that you provide all of the things that they need, vehicles, addition to their home, the clothing, the organization, the equipment that they are going to need times three to minister in their home. Be with the children in their home now as they welcome in these new little ones. Please bless and help them as they make adjustments and as they help and serve as well. Lord, we pray that you would keep them alert and safe on the journey home and that your richest blessings would be upon them. Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.